listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Chief Apostle Vernon Whitaker from First Church Fivefold Fellowship in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Our address is 2855 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34953. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me at 561-718-2361. That is my cell number. And we do live in Port St. Lucie. Our church is also in Port St. Lucie. Our morning services, we will be starting back our Sunday school with some new hours. We'll be 10 o'clock in the morning. And our morning service will start at 11 o'clock. Those will be our new times that we will start. And we are having such a good time today. And I always say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a good day, always a good day. Yes, yes, we need to be prepared and need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And he is coming back sooner than we think. We need to really realize that there is a day that we will be able to see the Lord, and he will judge us according to our works. It's not a bad day. It's a good day. And why it's good? Because the Lord made it. And why is that? Because he allowed us to get up and see it. So now let's say our motto. Here we go. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So today's lesson, we're going to be talking about dealing with problems of life. And you know, it's so easy to get caught up in our problems of life that we tend to face alone without even asking God to be involved. You need to remember this, and I always preach this. There's no problem too hard. There's no problem too small. There's no problem too large for God to handle. So maybe you may be facing a problem that you might think is too big, it's overwhelming. You think that there's no solution. You may be looking everywhere for an answer, but it seems that you can never find the answer to your problem, and you don't try it and went everywhere, and seems like there's no way out. Seems like you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and your problems of life sometimes seem like it is draining you of your energy, and seems like you've been smothered from this enormous amount of problems of life. Seems like it is the more you struggle with this problem of life, seems like the deeper you sink under this enormous amount of pressure that's being put on you by these problems of life. It seems like the weight is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. It seems like the more you try to struggle, it seems like your life is just going out of you. It seems like you're about ready to give up. It seems like you just don't care no more. It seems like you can't find no answer. Seems like the more you try, it seems like the darker it gets. It seems like it gets worse. It seems like it gets harder and harder. Seems like the more you try to live right or do right or try to fix these problems, seems like more problems come. You know, some of y'all may be just like Job. Soon as you get through with one problem, and there come another problem. And soon as you get through with that problem, before you finish that problem, here come another problem. And before you finish that problem, here come another problem. And before you finish that problem, here come another problem. Seems like everything is just pushing on, just pressing you on all sides. Seems like everything is trying to come into the center. Seems like everything is just mashing you together. Seems like you, the harder you fight, seems like you're getting weaker and you're getting weaker and you're getting weaker. And seems like no matter how you pray or how you ask God to do things and how you just stay on your knees, seems like it don't never get answered. Problems of life. How we deal with problems. How you deal with a situation like that when you pray and pray and pray. And seems like there's no answer. And you just keep praying. And I know sometimes we might get this question on our mind. How do I deal with this type of problem? If I can just share with you today how Jesus Christ dealt with problems of life, then maybe you can learn how to deal with the problems of your own life and how he handled it. I know there's somebody right now that got some problems. We all got problems. We all go through things. And sometimes we need to learn what problems are. And I believe that problems are there not to weigh you down, but problems are there to so that you can learn from your problem. How can you go through life all the times and making mistakes and don't ever learn nothing? And that is like you taking a test. You take the test one time and you fail. Now the teacher said, okay, we're going to do a remake of the test. And you take that test again, seems like that test is harder than it was the first time. And you fail it again. Okay, you're going to take the test over again. Seems like you keep, in life, you keep taking the test over and over and over and over. And if you really look at it, it's in the same subject or the same situation. If you flunking in math, guess what? You're still taking that same math test. How can we deal with these problems? And Jesus give us the answer. He give us an example on how we can deal with these type problems. So what we need to now, we need to look at some a scriptural principle that Jesus used that we can use in our life each and every day to deal with situations, to deal with different problems of life. And I know sometimes problems of life can get real tough. It can get real hard on you. It get to the point where you just want to give up and just throw in your hands and you just want to lay down and just die. But that's not the answer to the solution. Giving up is not the answer. You can't give up. We are not made. God did not create us to give up. God created us to be winners. We can be more than overcomers. But because of problems and the pressure of life, seems like we don't have the power, but God give us the power, so we need to learn how to use what God has given us. And the best thing that he gives us is our mind. You know, it's like they say, mind over matter. You put your mind over your problems. You don't let your problem get the best of you. You get the best of your problem. So I'm here to let somebody know, as long as you're living, you're going to have a problem. As long as you're walking upon this world and you're breathing and you're walking and you're talking, you're going to have some problems. So we need to know how to put our mind over matter and don't let our problems weigh us down. Don't let problems take your self-esteem. Don't let problems take your joy. Don't let problems dictate how you smile or whether or not you can be happy because of the problems that you have. I have learned not let my problems get the best. I always get the best of my problem because there will be situation after situation that we must face. So now here's some of the scriptural principle, and we're going to do in Matthew's in chapter 14. It's maybe a story that everybody is familiar with. And the best thing that I can say that to overcome your problem is perception is half of the battle. If you can understand your problem, you got half of the battle won. And our problem is we don't understand what the problem is. We are focused on the problem and not focused on understanding what the problem is. And the problem in Matthew's chapter 14 and 15 was when Jesus was one evening and says that his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy them some food." So disciples looking at it as a problem. We got all these people around you. You need to send them away so that they can go and get their own food. They can go buy their own groceries because we don't have enough money. We don't have enough money in the treasury to feed all these people. So Jesus, just go ahead and send them on. They looking at it as a problem. They think, well, we got a great problem here. And John 6 and 2 says, "A great multitude followed him," talking about Jesus Christ, "because they saw his miracles in which he had done to them that was diseased." So now here's Jesus is confronted with this problem. But we got to understand, problems sometimes can be a way to learn a lesson. And I learned my most valuable lesson in the midst of my problems. You can learn a whole lot when you got trouble on your hand. It can sharpen your wits, sharpen your intelligence, sharpen your knowledge, and your wisdom when you got problems, if you understand the problem. There's always a lesson to learn when you go through things. So now, in John 6 and 5, it says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and he saw the great company come upon him, and he said unto Philip, which shall we buy bread that these may eat? So he's looking at Philip, and he didn't look at about the great multitude, whether or not he was going to feed the people. His question was, well, we need to go buy some food so we can feed them. Where are we going to go and get some food? Jesus understood half of the battle. And the problem was not the multitude. The problem was how we going to feed them. But the disciples looked at the problem as being the multitude. So Jesus understood, well, I got the multitude, but how are we going to feed them? And that's in a relationship, and I guarantee you, now, 9 times out of 10, when a husband and wife is going through they trials and their problems, and nobody understands what the problem is. If once you recognize the problem, then you could come up with the solution. And this is what I try to tell people. You know, don't sit there and argue back and forth with one another. Somebody in the marriage or somebody in the relationship should recognize what the problem is. And this is what Jesus was telling the disciples. Okay, now, how are we going to fix this problem? We know we got a multitude of people, but how are we going to fix the problem? So if you take that attitude into a relationship, instead of you arguing back and forth and realize you got a problem, and somebody should say, the next thing should be, okay, how are we going to fix this problem? Instead of we just keep arguing about the same old problem, and now that's when the problem become overbearing and overweighting you. But yet you do not realize and understand you got a problem. Yes, the problem is there. Next thing, how are we going to fix it? So this is what Jesus was telling Philip. How are we going to fix this problem, Philip? But we need to know that Jesus knows your needs and how he will meet them even before you know your own needs. Now, Jesus proposed this question to Philip on how we're going to feed them simply to test Philip. Simply a test. You got to understand, a problem is there to test you. And in that test, you should gain some wisdom and not. You should learn from your test. Learn not to get back in that test again. Learn not to get in that same situation again. You got some people that keep going through the same situation over and over and over. Same situation. So that tells me you have not learned from the first time. That's why you keep going through over and over. You're taking that test over and over and over again. That same test. So if anybody needs some prayer, give me a call at 772-221-1100 and let us help you through your problem. Let us pray in your problem. So Jesus will test us with challenges and with problems so that we can understand and know what we need, how to overcome these problems. And John 6 and 7, and this is what it says, and Philip answered him, 200 pence worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, this is an answer that Philip gave that a typical many of us give. This is a simple answer. He did not include Jesus in his calculation. This is common for you not to include Jesus in your problem. You look at your problem, and like you can deal with the problem, but you don't have the right person in your problem. He was looking at, well, we ain't got but so much money, but he didn't realize who he had on his side. He had the source right there. He had the man that can do all things. Well, nothing impossible for Jesus to do. And here's the problem I understand as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he saw them doing miracles. He saw him healing the leper. He saw him giving sight to the blind. He saw him making the crippled get up and walk. He saw him healing all manner of diseases. What make him think that Jesus could not feed all those people? After all that he had witnessed, and all the blessing that he saw Jesus Christ did, but yet and still, he still did not include Jesus that he was able to do and feed the multitude. Sometimes we got to stop focusing on just the problem and give it all to the Lord. He said, bring your burden and lay it at my feet. My yoke is light. So sometimes we miss it because we're too focused on one thing and not realizing that that Jesus Christ can do all things. And Philip had the person that can do everything. And John 6 and 4, John 6, 47 through 48, and John 6, 8 through 9, and this is what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life, and I am the bread of life. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, brother, said unto him, there is a lad here, which hath five barley loaves, two small fish. But what are they among so many? They still didn't understand who they had with them. They still were looking at, okay, we do have a person here, and he got five loaves of bread and two fish. Lord, this ain't enough to feed everybody here. They must have forgot who they was talking to. They must have then realized they was talking to the Son of God. The problem that Jesus had already figured out and he already knew what they needed, all he wanted them to do is believe what he can do and that it will be done. And sometimes when we pray, come on now, we pray, but yet we don't believe. And doubt will rule out, cancel out your prayer every time. Jesus said that you had to believe it, that you already received it before you even asked for it. So if you got a problem and you want to answer to your solution, you got to believe that it's already been solved before you get on your knees and pray, knowing that the Lord already knows your need. Mighty quiet out there today. Dealing with problems of life. The disciples, they were looking at the loaves of bread and the two fish. But Jesus was looking at it as a source to feed everybody. They were looking at it was enough. And Jesus was looking at it, I can do all things. Wow. You need to remember that God supplies all your needs. In Philippians 4 and 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It is through Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ that all our needs are being supplied. And John 6 and 8, as I read, and Jesus said, the little peoples do matter. Jesus could have fed the multitude by raining down manna from heaven as God did when his people was in the wilderness. But he chose to work through a small boy. This shows us that he likes to work through peoples that are perceived to be insignificant and what he can do with you. Just because you might feel like you're small and insignificant, God can still use you. Anywhere, anytime, anybody, God can use. But we have to be in a position so and be ready so God can use us. Don't never put yourself down and think you're insignificant. You're too small in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody have a role and a place in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Mark 5, verse 25 to 32, and it says, and a certain woman which had issued blood 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians and had spent all that she had was nothing better, but rather grow worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in, pressed behind him, touched his garment. For she said, if I can just touch by his clothes, I will be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the virtue has gone out, turned himself about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest a multitude thrown in thee, and says thou, who touched me? And he looked about, seeing her, that she had done this thing. We can need to know that Jesus is sensitive to your needs, even though he's been pressed from all sides. Many times we feel like we are too small and insignificant to bring our needs to God. But no one is too small, and no problem is insignificant to God to handle. No matter how big, no matter how small it is, God can handle your problem. And in John 6, 11 through 13, and Jesus took the loaf when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples and disciples to them that were sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. When they was filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragment that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered themselves and filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above of them that has eaten. Jesus is always adequate and supply more than our needs. He will bless you. He will overrun, overtake you. Jesus is always adequate. And in Mark 6, verse 39 through 44 says, and he commanded them to make all sit down by the company upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by the hundreds and by the fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed, broke the bread, the loaves, gave them to the disciples, set before them, the 2 fish divided among them all. And they did all eat and was filled. They took up the 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish, and they did eat the loaves, was about 5,000 men. So we got to see that there were 3 things that we know about Jesus. He's orderly. Jesus took the time to give thanks to God. And we need to give thanks for God for our blessing in our lives as well. And Jesus used his disciples to exercise his plan and to use you. So we got to be in the point that the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Even when you're doing good, you got to give God thanks. When you're doing bad, you got to give God thanks. When you're broke, you still give God thanks. When you got a pocket full of money, you give God thanks. When you got a table full of food, you give God thanks. When you don't have nothing to eat, you still give God thanks. He said, in all things. So we got to learn how to give God thanks in all things. And this is how we deal with the problems of life by praying and turning it over to the Lord and knowing that God has it, knowing that God is adequate to meet all our needs. If we just allow ourselves and stop looking and focusing upon the problem, but look and focus on Jesus Christ, and in every situation, always put Jesus Christ in the midst of your problem. And I guarantee you that all your needs will be met. This is Chief Apostle Vernon Whitaker from First Church Fivefold Fellowship, along with my lovely wife, Pastor Betty Whitaker, and our morning service when a new time will start at 10 a.m. for Sunday school. Now, a morning service start at 11 o'clock, and we are located at 2855 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34953. Come on, here we go. Before we go, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Have a blessed and a wonderful day. Thank you for listening to the True Word of God with Apostle Vernon and Betty Whitaker. I want to invite you to worship with us this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We are located at 2855 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34953. If you would like more information about our ministry or this program, you can call us at 561-718-2361. Join us next week at the same time for the True Word of God.
Instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease. When we are your instruments of Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease. When we are your instruments of peace. Where there is hatred, we will sow his love. Where there is injury, we will never judge. Where there is striving, we will speak his peace to the people crying for release. We will be his instruments of peace.